Blog Talk Radio.
If you're doing ministry as it pertains to what God has
given to you to do, meaning he's giving you the instructions that everything is just perfect. Anybody that's doing ministry that actually is doing ministry know that that's not the case. Anybody that has done ministry for any period of time, I don't know about you all, but let me just speak for myself. It is not easy. It's not easy, and there are many weeks where, see, we're going to break that down on tonight, but there are many weeks. If you could imagine, I want you to imagine a triangle. We're going to break that triangle down. But if you could imagine a triangle and you split it in three parts, the top part being the spirit, the middle part being your soul, and the bottom part being your flesh, your body. And when you understand what each one of those three parts functions is, then you could understand why somebody could be great doing ministry, and they could be doing ministry and being obedient to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is using them to bring forth the word, using them to bring forth deliverance, using them to heal and all this other stuff. And yet, they still could be struggling in their soul. Because when we get saved, it's our spirit that gets renewed. It's our spirit that gets saved. Because the body or the soul is not going to heaven. It's the spirit. So it's our spirit that's getting saved. And that doesn't mean that just because we've been saved and our spirit has been, the spirit of God inside of us has been activated, that the soul is going to cooperate or the body is going to cooperate. Those are two things that, because see, the soul don't know nothing about the spirit. And the body don't know nothing about the spirit. And the spirit only knows God, the word of God, the confession of the word of God. That's what the spirit knows. So they're all in opposition of each other, right? And so when we could be so on fire and yet still be struggling in our souls, it's certain things that we could, you know, there's certain things that we could do or things that we've been bonded to over the course of our life, and depending on some people that get saved until their 30s or 40s or 50s, you know. So they had all these other years that they were constantly feeding their soul and their body, and they still got to work through some of the things. So just because I'm saved don't necessarily mean that I've been set free from some stuff. And likewise. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We need to start understanding stuff. Many of us have been in church for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and we've heard the word, we've read the word, we've experienced the presence of God. But some things we've heard it sounds good. We know we've been in the presence of God. We've seen his faithfulness. We've seen, his miracles. You know, we've seen it. And yet some of us still don't understand some stuff, and we need to start being able to understand what we're dealing with. And when we begin to understand, it's going to make things a little bit easier for us. It's going to at least help us to learn how to fight the fight of the fight, the good fight of faith. Is it, you know, at least we'll be able to understand that. And we'll be able to get through some stuff. It don't mean that we won't fall. It don't mean that we won't mess up. It don't mean that we won't miss the mark. But what it means is that it's not all unto doom. That we're, you know, that we are not. And I think I had taught earlier this year, I might need to go back to teach about that, but we talked about backsliding and apathy and, you know, but we talked about those things and we gave the definition and wrote down what it meant, you know. And some of us, we could get so caught up or get so, go back to the things that we probably once was delivered from, and we could go back to those things. And when we went back to them, we don't understand, why did I go back there? I mean, I'm already arrived here. I'm already sitting here. So why did I go back to that old thing? Why did I go back to that old habit? Why did I go back to that old friend or lover? You know, we ask ourselves that. How did I get caught up going back there? Amen? And so we're going to talk about all of that on tonight. And what I want to do, I hope to get a chance to do, I did invite a couple of my brothers and sisters in Christ that's, you know, currently involved in ministry. I did invite them onto the call on tonight, and hopefully they'll take the invitation, because I want it to be a discussion on what we're going to talk about tonight. I mean, I know that there's other people that got revelation as it pertains to soul ties, and that's what we're going to be discussing tonight, the ties that bind. And then we're specifically talking about soul ties, and many of us have this impression that soul ties always have to do with an intimate relationship, and that couldn't be further from the truth, because it's not always it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship. You know, a soul tie could be you know, some of us got soul ties to our children and our parents. You know, some of us have soul ties to business partners. So it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship, that though you hear about souls more frequently, but a soul tie don't have to be that. And so we're going to just kind of get an idea of the soul tie thing on tonight, because some of us have some soul ties that we haven't broken, and we're wondering why we're doing some of the things that we're doing, and while we're stepping back, backsliding, or back into some stuff, and we're trying to figure out, God, I thought I was delivered from that. I thought I already got over that. Why am I going back to the bottom? Like, you know, the word talks about going back to the vomit. And we're going to find that out tonight, because if we're feeding our spirit, that helps us. That helps us. But we still got to deal with that soul. We still got to deal with that soul. We can't be feeding the spirit and the soul, because if you feed the soul is going to want what it wants, right? And the body and the soul kind of work simultaneously. They work together, you know, because the soul is comprised of what? Our emotions. It's comprised of our mind. So our mind and our emotions. And so if you know anything about emotions, especially they say female and women, our emotions be all over the place. And when you think about that, we all over the place. And then we got the soul, you know, that's emotion, and then that filters into our body. Because if I'm emotional about you, let's just say, if I'm emotional about somebody and my mind is constantly thinking about them, and then, you know, the mind begins to dictate into the heart, and then we got the mind and the heart that's deep, you know, the mind and the emotions in the heart and the mind is now starting to speak to the body. That gets us caught up into some stuff. And I know you guys could agree with that. So let's just get into this, and we're going to get into soul ties. Again, I invited some of my brothers and sisters in Christ on this call tonight specifically because I want them to engage. So don't let this Coach D talk this. I'm going to get it open and get it going. And then I was just going to ask Brother Q, I believe that you are on. I don't know if Apostle Brumby or you on. If you're there, if you guys could just put dial one on your dial pad so that let me know that you are in the studio on tonight. And, you know, and if you are, then I'm going to open your mic. I'm going to ask you to mute yourself on your end so whenever you want to jump in, you can jump in and jump out as you feel free to do so. Amen. So, again, I want to welcome everybody in the studio on tonight, and we're going to be talking about the tie that binds. First, let's understand a soul tie. Soul ties are sometimes referred to emotional or spiritual cording, connection. It's powerful. It's emotional bond to another person. A soul tie is an emotional connection with something, someone. A soul tie with a toxic or abusive. So when we're connected to another soul, you become one with that person. You guys become one. You're corded together, and that often means that there's a lot of you know, because remember the soul is comprised of the emotions. So there's a lot of emotional ties there. So if somebody is emotionally unstable and you tie yourself to that person, can you imagine some of the stuff that you may experience? If a person is emotionally unstable, which we could refer to as maybe somebody that's abusive, maybe somebody that has an addictive personality, any of those kind of things, and you tie yourself to this soul, guess what? You're going to start experiencing the brunt of some of those instability, right? It's like being on a roller coaster ride. You didn't jump on this ride with this person, And now you like it's going through like a roller coaster ride with ups and downs and curves and turns, and all of a sudden your license just went all out of whack, and you're trying to understand why it went out of whack. Well, you just tied yourself to somebody that was not emotionally stable. So now you got a soul tie with somebody that's abusive, that's to be damaging not only to your mental health, but your emotional state and everything else. Because while you're taking on, it's almost like mirroring. It's almost like becoming a reflection of something. Amen? So we want to understand that about soul ties. We always hear people talk about soul ties, you know, soulmates. We hear them talking about soulmates and soul ties, especially in the body of Christ. Oh, I'm looking for my soulmate, and, you know, I'm this and that. We better be careful about what we're talking about, or at least know what we're talking about when we're talking about it. And I don't know that I want to be soul tied to anybody no more. Now, there are some healthy soul ties. You got people that's been married for 30, 40 years. That's a soul tie. It's so much so that if you ever heard of people that's been married for 40, 50 years or better, and when one person goes on to glory, they say it's not too long afterwards that the other person goes on to glory. They are so tied. Have you a soul tie? Another thing of a soul tie, I want to talk from stuff that's practical. When I speak it, you could get a perception. Another thing of soul tie is, have you ever seen people that's been together for years and all of a sudden they start looking alike? I've seen that where people that's been together for years, and you look at them, you be like, damn, y'all look like brother and sister. Y'all starting to look alike because they're tied together. The word of God in Genesis, it tells us about the two shall become one. But see, that's a soul tie. When the two become one, it's a covenant. It's called marriage, right? And there are some things that take place when the two become one in marriage, matrimony, and then they become one, right? One of the quickest ways to become a soul tie, now there's multiple ways, and we're going to talk about that tonight, but one of the quickest ways to become a soul tie is intercourse. Sexual intercourse is one of the quickest ways to have a soul tie. And I honestly believe, and I know in the Word of God, it talks about God gave us sex to be. It wasn't supposed to be this big old pleasurable thing that we made it, but it was really for replenishing the earth. And it was for bonding. It was, you know, that was one of the ways that the two became one. And even, you know, when you think about certain things and certain parables and stories you read in the Bible with God, you know, he was talking to the woman at the well, you know, and he said, well, yeah, you know, hey, as a matter of fact, ain't none of your husband, but you just slept with all these different people and became one with all these different people. And that really was a way of bonding. You know, that was a way of marriage. You slept with them, that became your wife. How do we know that? Think about Jacob. Remember, he didn't want Leah, but he had. But the ceremony went forth, and I don't know if he was too drunk or she was too dressed up and hidden in garments, but he slept with her. And once he slept with her, that was it. That became his wife. Now he was tied to her. So now you can understand, even as we begin to talk about soul ties tonight, you're going to see some other things that's going to make a lot of sense of why the Bible speaks about fornication, why it speaks against fornication. Why it speaks against sex outside of marriage? Because the Bible is inspired by God, right? It's the mind of God. So God knew. He created us. He's the manufacturer. We're the product that he manufactured. So he knows how we work. He knows, you know, he knows everything about us. So he knows why he didn't want us having sex outside of marriage, because he understood the dynamic. He understood that if we keep connecting ourselves soul to soul to soul, that we would get these ties, and it may not be healthy. And a lot of soul ties can be healthy, but there's so many soul ties that are not healthy. They're toxic, and most of them are toxic because they were. I'm going to say that they were not authentic in the making of those soul ties. They weren't something that God. Blessed that God had a covenant with. It just wasn't something that he did. So we got all these soul ties that we just tied in with people that we wasn't even supposed to be joining with. And not just in sexual relationships. That's in business. Some of us have gotten involved with people for business partners, and we didn't see businesses go down because one of the partners was stealing money, or the other partner didn't know how to budget properly, or one partner was a believer, the other one didn't. So they were in contradiction of one another. They weren't on one accord, so they couldn't move in the right direction because they weren't on the same page. Yet they didn't join each other. That's a soul tie. They didn't came together. They didn't bond it. They didn't build. They didn't start this business. But it wasn't a good soul tie. It was a passive soul tie. We have soul ties with friends. You know, many of us have best friends. You know that we have soul ties. That could be healthy. I have some best friends that I'm close with. There's something could be going on with them, and I'll pick up in my spirit. And then I want to pick up the phone and call them and see how they're doing. Nothing wrong with that. But some of us have been tied to friends that was toxic. It didn't mean us no good. That person didn't mean us no good. You know, a toxic soul tie, one of the ways you know that is because of the spirit of manipulation is involved. You know, every time you turn around, it's always something. Have you ever been with people around people like that? You know, this is a friend of yours, but every time you turn around, it's some kind of drama. They're going through something. They need something from you. It's always something you're constantly giving, but they're never giving back. Toxic soul ties, and you don't want to be bothered with them no more, but you just have a hard time. You don't know how to release them. You don't know how to let them go. You know, and so then you get stuck. Some of the ways you know that you are in soul ties is, and we're going to just talk about those really briefly, is you feel connected on a deeper level. Nothing bad with that. See, we want to make sure we understand, and I'm going to keep repeating it, that soul ties is not always a negative thing. Soul ties can also be a positive thing. So you feel connected on a deeper level. Another way is there's a illicit strong reaction from you. When you feel connected to somebody on a deeper level, you get a reaction. There's this familiarity. You know, you feel this familiar spirit, as they say. You may feel like this person or this person completes you. You feel completed. You know, that all of a sudden you just feel like, man, this just feels right. Have you ever met somebody, you start talking to them? And this could be a male and male, female and female. Again, it doesn't have to be sexual. But have you ever met somebody, you start talking to them, and it's like you've been knowing them for years? You feel like you've been knowing them forever. If the connection's there, and you guys immediately connect, and all of a sudden you got a friendship going, and you feel closer to them than some of the friends you've been knowing for 10, 15, 20 years. Soul ties. The relationship feels unique or one of a kind. Sometimes, you know, you get with somebody and you just be like, man, I never experienced this before. I've never been with somebody who makes me feel like this. You know, remember soul ties. Remember what the soul's job and function is. You know, the soul is the emotion. Ooh, I feel. You know, I never felt like this. This just feels so good. It feels so different. And a lot of times, it could have been somebody that showed up at a significant time in our lives. I don't know that could be good or bad. Again, you know, most of the time I've known personally, generally, that's not a good soul tie because sometimes some of us are going through some stuff. We went through a hardship, maybe from a bad relationship that we just got out of called rebound, or we maybe lost a loved one and we were just going through something. Maybe we lost a job, but we were going through something in our lives during that time. And then all of a sudden this person comes into our life and it's like they came into our life at a significant time. And maybe too, you know, soul ties could be seasonal. You know, they came in our lives just for that moment to help us get through. I was talking to a friend, and they were had a year ago. They were really going through some things, And today they made mention to me to let me know that, you know what, you were there for me. Little do you know that you were there for me at a time of my life where I was really not doing good. And you didn't even know I wasn't doing good, but it was some of your words of encouragement and some of the things that you said that helped me get through that season of my life. So, you know, things like that, you know, somebody could come into your life and just help you get through some stuff at a time where you really need them. Again, we said soul ties are not just marriages, sex, but it could be business, it could be friendship. There's different forms of soul ties are typically formed through different things. They're formed through what? Spiritual. Soul ties are formed physically. They're formed socially. Hey, we got a lot of things socially in common, or emotional connection. Those are how they, you know, how they begin to be formed. Connections can involve deep conversations. This is a good example. Right now, in this day and time, people are meeting people online, people they've never seen face-to-face physically. So people are meeting people online, and they are bonding and developing relationships. And you often hear other people say, I would never fall in love with somebody from talking to them online, and I would never date online, and I would never. And all these people say never, but that's the new age and wave of dating. And it's proof, whether people like it, don't like it, whether people feel like they old school, but it is proof, because most of the marriages that are forming now have formed through some type of social venue. People are meeting on dating sites. They're meeting on social sites like Facebook and Instagram and all these other ones. People are meeting through that, and they're just spending time, and most of them are spending weeks and months in conversation before they ever come face to face. They've already got a bond. They've already started a soul tie. Why? Because remember, it could be formed through emotions. So if you're speaking to somebody, let's say every day, you speak to them two or three times a day, and you guys are opening up, and if you're both being vulnerable and you're sharing openly about yourselves and things you're going through or things you've been through, so now you know you guys are building some, you know, a connection. You're building a connection. You're learning about each other. You're getting to know each other on a level that's even deeper than physical. Because now all you have is your mind. All you have is conversation. You got to communicate, right? In this situation, you got to communicate. So you're connecting mind to mind. And that mental, when you get into a mental connection, I don't know. I mean, physical connections are pretty deep, but a mental connection is deep. That's deep when you can get into somebody's mind, and they'll allow you into their mind, and you get into their mind, and now you guys are exchanging ideas, and you're discussing things, and you talk about the things you've experienced and that you've gone through. So you're building this tie. You're building this tie, and emotions are getting involved. Now when you finally meet each other, you meet each other, and everything that the person said they were and everything that they told you, if that becomes the truth, now you know, next thing you know, you got a couple that's getting married. Amen? You got a couple that's getting married. They have a soul tie. And soul ties are not easy to be broken. Again, I have some people on the line. If you're in there, the ones, you know who you are, who are specifically invited to share something from your point of view or something that maybe you read about or know about, I want you to please feel free to share. Let me know by dialing one on your dial pad, and I'll bring you into this discussion, because I don't want it to just be all about Cody B. I want somebody else to share as well, because everybody has experienced soul ties, and some of us are still experiencing soul ties. So again, we've already identified on tonight that the soul is comprised of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when your soul ties with another person, your mind, will, and emotions become embedded with that other person. And one of the ways of soul tie is a great sense of familiarity. We talked about that. There's the world calls it energy. You hear everybody talking about energy these days. Oh, energy, energy, energy. But you start feeling this familiarity. You know, you there's a knowing. There's a knowing with this person. One of the things, and I said it earlier, and I want to go back to this because I kind of probably skipped ahead of time, but I want to give a visual, and I think it's important that we get a visual. When you close your eyes and I'm talking about this, you should be getting a visual. Your mind should just be blank. So the visual I want to give you is a triangle. I want to give you a triangle, and that's the visual I want to give you. And if you could imagine this triangle, we're going to start at the top of the triangle. We broke the triangle into three parts, okay? So at the top of this triangle, we have the spirit. Spirit is word of God in direct revelation. The spirit only knows the word of God and the revelation of God. The spirit don't know nothing about nothing else. Just keep that in mind. Then in the middle of this triangle, we have the soul. Again, we said that you choose what to think. We choose what to think. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's the soul. And then at the bottom of this triangle, we have the body. And the body information gets its information from the five senses. So our body responds only. It only responds on its own. It responds by the five senses. And this is where we're going to start understanding some stuff. Just follow with me, if you will. Let's go from the bottom of the triangle. We're going to work ourselves up because most of us, when we're born into this world, we ain't born into this world in the spirit. So when we're born in, we're coming in the flesh, right? And we are very in tune with our five senses. What many of us know five senses is what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we touch. That dictates the body. So what the body see, hear, touch, smell, or taste, listen to the dynamics of that. The body's information comes from the five senses. Coach D, why you keep repeating that? Because most of us get in trouble behind our five senses. I'm going to be transparent. Your girl likes oldies. I love oldies. I'm not talking about old school. I like old school too. But I'm talking about oldies. I'm talking about when you're getting into the Delphonics and those groups. I love ballads. Love ballads. I could sit up and play. I could get in my car and drive and just listen to some Delphonics and Dramatics and, you know, those groups. Or I could be around the house on a Saturday listening to them. See, but when I was raised as a little girl, and we know that 0 to 7 is those key critical times of our lives, right? From 0 to 7, I was raised on Saturday morning where the oldies went on. That was the music that went on, and then your mama was around the house cleaning the house, and sometimes you would have to be in the house cleaning too. But it was something about music when it comes to the black community, correct me if I'm wrong, that music would move you. And they would get the music going loud on a Saturday morning, and the bathroom is going, and, you're washing windows and vacuuming and dusting, and the music is going. So little kids knew all the words to the old songs. But I love ballads. I don't know if it came from that, but I do. Do I listen to them all the time? No. And let me tell you why. Because there's certain songs that I can start listening to that take me back to certain places in my life. Okay? Remember when it said to hear what you hear? And I can hear these songs, and they take me to wherever I was at that point in my life, whether it was a good place or a not-so-good place. It takes me back. And though I love the song, and I know all the words, and when it come on, I'm going to start rocking. And I'm going to start singing to it. If I'm not careful, depending on that song, I'll get sad. If I'm not careful, that soul tie that I broke once before will reemerge. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. There was certain songs that we were doing certain things on. And every time you hear that song, you remember that night or you remember that day. And so we got to be careful about what we're feeding our souls, because our souls will keep us broken. Our souls will keep us from reaching the highest level of our spiritual journey. Your spirit is saved. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your spirit is saved, okay? But that don't mean your soul is saved. And if you are not careful about what you're watching on TV, because there may be certain shows that people watch, there may be certain things that trigger you. If you just got delivered from porno, or if you just got delivered from this, but you still watching shows like P-Valley, and y'all know I'm talking about these other shows, those shows will begin to trigger that old familiar spirit in you. And before you know it, you operate in old behavior. And then that next thing you know, you operate in old behavior, and now you're trying to figure out why you back where you, dang, I just got out of that. Why am I back here? Dang, I thought I would stop doing this, but why am I back here? Come on, somebody. So we have to be careful about what we feed in our souls. We got to be careful what we watch, eyes. We got to be careful of the stuff we hear, we listen to. We got to be careful of the stuff that we taste and the stuff that we smell. So I'm an ex-smoker. I used to smoke years ago. Cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for years, and I haven't smoked in years. Glory to God. Now, some people might got delivered from cigarettes, and then the smell of cigarettes might draw them back. But the majority of people that got delivered from cigarettes say that the smell make them sick. I'm one of the people, I can't stand cigarette smell. But, again, smell. Some people might have been smoking something else, and they smell it. It could be a trigger for them. It could take them back to that familiarity. And guess what? Once our emotions or our soul gets wrong, our body going to follow. I mean, the body is the five senses. I'm sorry. Once the body gets triggered, and if we're emotionally unstable, if we're, our will, next thing we know, we'll be caught up. That's it. We'll be caught up. That's why it says so important that somebody that once was on drugs, it's not wise for them to go back into a drug environment. Why? Because of familiarity. And if they're not strong enough, then they could get caught back up. Now, we do know that there's people that was addicts at one point, or they were delivered, and now they're going back to help others get delivered. Glory to God. That's a call. That's a ministry. That's a blessing. If God calls you to that, then he's prepped you and prepared you for that. Everybody ain't called to that. And you got a lot of people that tried to take on that call that they wasn't called for and got caught back up. So, again, we got to be careful what we're feeding our souls, because our souls will then dictate our bodies. Amen. How do we get past? So let's just say we got some good soul ties. Some of us got good soul ties, and that's a great thing. And those are good to have. But what about the not-so-good soul ties? How do we deal with those soul ties? How do we break the soul ties? How do we be released from soul ties? Some of us have soul ties, and we don't even know it. We done moved on. We done got into other relationships. And the next thing we know, as soon as we go into some problems in the other relationship, the next thing we know, we caught back up in a soul tie. If you wasn't tied to that soul, you couldn't get caught back up in it. But you still got a tie that you didn't release. Or maybe you released it, but then, of course, you went back and reactivated it. So how do we get past these soul ties? How do we get rid of them? How do we get delivered? How do we get healed from them is the question. Breaking a soul tie. Okay, number one, the first thing we got to do is repent and totally surrender to Jesus. See, a lot of us have surrendered our spirit, but we ain't surrendered our soul. So we got to totally surrender to Jesus. We got to give him everything, not just what we want to give him. And not just what we want to give him. We got a lot of us in the body you know, that we'll give God some things. You know, Lord, I'll give you ministry, you know, and I'll give you church on Sundays, you know, but I ain't gonna give you this addiction. I'm not gonna give you this thought. I'm not gonna give you this. And we're not just saying it, but our actions are showing it. You know, okay, I'm good. I know I could pray, I could lay hands, I could get you healed, I could get you whole. But guess what? When I go home, it's some stuff I don't want to give up. So we have to surrender to Jesus. Repent, surrender. The second thing is release and remove. We got to release some stuff. What do you mean, Coach D? I'm just giving examples. There's multiple examples. I'm just giving you some. When I say release and remove, some of us have old relationships that we were so tied in. And those relationships been dead for years. But somehow we left the door open for those relationships. And it's weird because generally in a soul tie relationship, the other person that's in this entanglement, especially if they're not operating in integrity, know that there's a tie, and they'll do just enough to keep you attached. You know, that call every now and then, you never hear from them, but all of a sudden when you think you delivered, they call, and all of a sudden emotions come back up, that tie, is that stronghold is back again. So we got to release. And sometimes release meaning you let go, you don't look back, you don't continue engagement, you just move on. Because if you don't, you're not going to get rid of that soul tie. You're not going to get rid of that soul tie. But if you want to get rid of it and you want to be delivered from it, you got to release it and remove it. Release and remove. And that means sometimes you got to remove everything that connects you back to that person. Especially if it's a toxic soul tie. Number three, rejoice. So after you repented and surrendered to Jesus, after you released and you removed it, now rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that you're set free. Accept the fact that you've been set free. And guess what? The fourth one is repeat steps 1 and 3 as often as you need to. Because we do. Just because we get saved don't mean that we ain't going to go through, that we're not going to struggle. The Bible talks about, you know how the Bible talks about you get rid of these devils and you know, you get your house cleaned out, you sweep and get it cleaned out, and they'll come back. If you're not careful, they'll come back, and when they come back, they bring 7 more with them. So, you know, you used to could easily, you know, I do this, but when I did it on the weekends, and you know, after Sunday, I didn't have to do it no more. But what you don't realize is that if you're not careful, what you only did on Saturdays, you'll find that you're doing on Sundays and Mondays. But what you did only on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, you'll find that you're doing it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In other words, it becomes harder and harder to break ties. It becomes harder and harder to be delivered from that thing. Every time we go back to that, it's harder to come up out of it. It's harder to come up out of it. So it's important. We've always got to be in a place of repentance. We got to have a repentant heart. That was what David had issues. And it shows, if you look at the history of David, when he started having kids, his kids had issues. Generational curses. It went from him down to his kids. But I guess the difference with David was, is David was a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? David was willing to repent. David was willing to acknowledge, I blew it. I missed the mark. Lord, God, forgive me. And he was sincere with it. So we got to have that same heart that we repent, acknowledge, God, I blown it. Lord, I done backed up again. He said he married to the backslider. That don't mean you just purposely do it. That means that when you slip up and you know you do it, come back quick. Don't wait around. Don't say, well, I'm away. No, back. Come back quick. Oh, I blew it. Repent. And you release and remove. You got to release some stuff. And sometimes the stuff ain't human. Sometimes the stuff is places you used to go, things you used to do, things you used to listen to. Some of that stuff keeps you tied to that person. So it ain't always the person. Some of the stuff is the stuff that you allow to come back into your life that connects you back to this person. And sometimes that person went on. They done moved on with their lives. You see it all the time. Somebody you got a soul tie with, they done went off and got married to somebody else, and they married, they done went on with their lives. They ain't that they don't think about you on time to time, but they released and removed it. And you still stuck. You still stuck trying to figure out how you gonna go to the next, how you gonna go to the next. You still trying to figure out why my spiritual walk is not as fulfilling, or why I'm not where I should be, or not where I want to be, or not where I'm supposed to be. You're still trying to figure that out because your soul is sick. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to walk. It's not impossible, but it's very hard to walk a successful spiritual life when your soul is sick. When you got a hole in your soul, it makes it difficult. Because why? Because you are human. You hear that thing? I'm just human. You are human. And your soul dictates so much of your humanity. Everything, your mind, your will, your emotions, is all governed by your soul. So if your soul is unhealthy, your thinking is going to be unhealthy, your emotions is going to be unhealthy, and your will. You're not going to have the will to do the will of God because you're too busy operating in the will of your flesh. So when your soul is, we got to get rid of these, some of these soul ties that's not for good soul ties. You know, ex-lovers. You know, abusive relationships that we had ties with. And abusive don't always have to be physical. It could be mental. It could be emotional. Some of us are still stuck in stuff. Some of us are still battling with addictions, whether it be food addictions or sexual addictions or drug addictions or alcohol addiction. We still dealing with that stuff because we still haven't gotten past the sick soul. So release and remove and again rejoice. Give God the worship. Give him the praise. You know, you repented, you released, you removed, and now you want to rejoice and just thank God for his deliverance. Thank him for delivering you. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. Thank him for keeping you. Lord, keep me. Because it's times I just can't keep myself. I can't keep myself. Keep me, Lord. And you just rejoice. And like I said, when you done one, you done two, you done three, when you get to four, do them all three again. And do them as often as you need to. Because stuff will come up. I can't sit up here and say, because I would be lying if I said that I'll never listen to another love ballad again in my life. I would not be telling the truth. But I recognize now, when I recognize what they can do when I listen to them, and so I'm recognizing it as I'm listening. If this takes me to a certain place, I know how to cut that thing off. I know how to cut it off, and I know how to get into my closet. I know how to say, I reject, I'm casting down it, you know, cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God's word, casting it down. I don't need to go there. And it feels good being released. It feels good not having soul ties. It feels good to just be free. Free and available so that when that right soul tie comes into your life, you're not bringing all this other garbage from past soul ties. It feels good that you could be that you could be navigate your life, that you can allow God to navigate your life, that you don't have to get involved. You know, I made a decision, and I'm going to be transparent. I made a decision several years ago that I was going to be abstinent, that I was not having sex outside of marriage, and I'm going to be honest. I didn't say, oh, that's a sin, I'm not going to do it, because I've known it was a sin when I was doing it. So it wasn't that, and I know this might sound harsh for some people, but honey, the truth will set you free. It wasn't the fact that it was a sin that stopped me from doing it. But what stopped me from doing it was that I got a revelation knowledge of why I shouldn't be doing it. And that's more important than just knowing it's a sin. See, just knowing it's a sin ain't stopping people from not sinning. But when you get an understanding and a revelation knowledge of why you should be doing something that you're doing, even with our kids, when I was growing up, your mama told you not to do something, and you told her why, and she said, because I said so. That was it. That was all. You didn't ask no more questions. But it didn't necessarily stop the kids from doing what she told you not to do. Am I right? Same way with the word, being a child of God. Just because it says something is a sin ain't going to necessarily stop us from sinning. But when we get a revelation knowledge of why we don't need to be doing this thing, then we can make an informed decision. And I hear some religious spirits saying, well, I'm just not going to do it because it's a sin. But you're doing some other stuff that's sin. See, but when we understand why God is telling us not to do this, then we have a better, it gives us more power and freedom. Me decided not to have sex outside of marriage, and it gives me a freedom. First of all, I'm not getting those kind of soul ties, because that sexual sin soul tie is a strong soul tie, and I guarantee you that most of the time it's not a healthy tie. That sexual sin soul tie is normally going to turn toxic. It causes you to start making decisions not based on understanding, not based on knowledge, but based on love. It's good. I like it. So I'm going to keep getting it. So I'm going to stay in a situation that's not a healthy situation because now I got an addiction. But when you're free from that and you don't have to deal with that, and that's what I'm not becoming one with nobody. I'm not tying myself to somebody. Now, I may spend conversations with people, and I may have started building a bond, but those are bonds for me. They might not be for other people that's easy to break. I could break those bonds if I see that it's not going in a positive direction, if I see that it's not God in nature. I could break those bonds. But it's hard breaking sexual bonds when you get intimate with somebody, and especially as a woman, because we're the enemy. So it's entering into us. That's why men could just have it, in many cases, just have it and not even have any attachment. But women get attached. So not having it, it helps me to stay focused. It helps me to have more clarity. It helps me to make more, make better decisions. And I can see clear. And I'm not supposed to just make decisions and get involved in stuff without being able to see clearly. And I'm not going to allow lust to dictate decisions I'm making, not at this stage in my life. Glory to God. Because then I can hear God, I can hear my spirit better. You can hear your spirit better when you ain't all influenced by your soul and your body. One of the things is called discipline. And remember, I think I spoke on before, it's hard to be obedient when you're not disciplined. And I'm not saying I'm totally disciplined. I'm disciplined in that area. I got other areas I need to work on being disciplined in as well. But it's not easy to be obedient when you're not disciplined, because it takes discipline to be obedient. Amen. So I'm going to stop right there as I'm going. I believe that I gave you what the Lord brought forth to me. Prayer works. This is the last I'm going to say, and then I'm going to open up the lines. If there is anyone that has anything to add to tonight's discussion, dial one on your dial pad. The prayer works. And one of the prayers that I came across this, and I'm not going to take credit for this prayer, but this prayer was from Pastor Jeremy Foster, and I thought it was a good prayer to help with breaking soul ties. And basically the prayer is saying, I bring the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ between me and whatever that person's name is. As Galatians 6:14 says, I have been crucified to that person, and they have been crucified to me. So by the cross of Jesus Christ, I break every soul tie and every unholy bound with that person's name. Just know it is not easy, but God can make something beautiful out of something broken. Amen. I want to thank each one of you for joining in on with us tonight on this episode of Processing the Pain. I hope to see you all on next Thursday. I'm just going to take one quick moment. I'm not going to take a long time. I see y'all in here. Do you have anything to add to tonight's discussion? Down one. Maybe you got something to add. Maybe you're willing to share a personal testimony. If not, maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you just feel like, God, I need some people to stand in agreement with me, but I'm really struggling with this soul thing, you know. I'll be willing to pray with you. I'm going to continue to pray for you all. I pray that you continue to pray for me. If you don't have anything else to say or nobody has anything to add to this discussion on tonight, it really wasn't a discussion because nobody else discussed, but I hope that it blessed you. I hope it just gave you a little bit more knowledge as it pertains to soul ties and really helped you in those areas, because I know I know that I'm not the only one that struggle in certain areas. Like I said, those oldies, just, they break me down, and I know that's an area for me, and I know that as I start listening to them, and depending on how often I'm listening to those things, then it takes me back to, like I said, it takes me back to old behavior, you know. And so again, we want to just make sure that we're trying to stay free, trying to stay free to receive all that God has for us. Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word that went forth. Lord, help us to just get clear understanding of revelation, Father God, not religion, not the thous and the thus and don't do and can't do, but Father God, help us to get a clear understanding of why you say what you say, Father. Father God, help us to understand about fornication and adultery and all the stuff that comes with that, not just the, oh, you slept with somebody else's wife, or, oh, you slept with somebody that wasn't your husband. But, Father, understanding the connection, the spiritual connection, Father God. We know that there's only one true spirit, and that's the spirit of God that operates in us. But we know that there are other spirits, Father, that's not of you, that will connect themselves, that will house themselves in us when we leave ourselves open. So, Father God, we just thank you right now that you're teaching us, that you're training us, that you're bringing up mature Christian laborers, Father God, that's going to speak the truth and speak in clarity, Father God, and not from a place of religion, but from a place of relationship, from a place of righteousness, Father. So we just thank you on tonight. I thank you for each and every person that took the time to tune in on tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them, Father, and that you would just be able to minister to them wherever they're at, whatever their need is, Father, that you will be able to meet those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for joining me on tonight. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and I'll see you next Thursday. Good night.
surrender.